Deadwood Soundwave.
Welcome to Cosmic Void. I'm Biggs.
I'm Xavion.
So today we're covering The Blackening from 2023. We're doing a brand new movie.
I'm excited. I'm already laughing. I was actually pumped on my way over here thinking about this movie. So I'm excited we get to cover this one.
So let me ask you a question. Do you know anything about the group Threepeat?
I don't actually.
Okay, so that's the group that made this. And apparently it started out as a short that they made. Did you get a chance to watch that?
I got to watch part of it. So I was like, okay, I can see where they were going with it, but I didn't get to finish it.
It's essentially that scene in the middle where they're trying to pick who's the blackest to throw out, but apparently it's resolved at the end because they say, okay, everybody dump out your backpack and whoever has hot sauce has to go outside. And so they all go to dump out their backpack and one bottle of hot sauce falls and it's the guy who voted for Trump. So he goes outside and then they're hearing him scream and they're like, that's messed up. And then one of them goes, let's be real here. Who had hot sauce? And like literally everybody pulls out hot sauce. He's like, yeah, we had to for the community.
Oh my gosh.
But so they did that short. That got them a mini series on Comedy Central.
Really?
So they had 3 episodes. And so I was wondering if they were big and I just didn't know because I used to watch Comedy Central a lot. I have not for years.
That whole group in the short film and The Blackening also?
Some of them.
Okay.
Like gotcha. I think all of them except for one member had something to do with the movie, like okay. All together. But the one member who's not in the movie is actually Chris Redd from Saturday Night Live.
Oh, gotcha.
This is literally all I know about them. They started in Second City and all of them were in different improv groups and groups that made sketches. And like literally all of them were tired of being the only black person in the group. And so they all formed up and started this group. And the woman who made Girls Trip saw the short. She got a hold of them. I want to be the one who makes this a movie.
Yeah.
And they hadn't even thought about it in that way. So apparently it started as a sketch. The sketch was initially about why black people don't go camping. And then it became the camping.
Yeah.
The black people shouldn't go camping is the setup for a horror thing. And then that becomes an entire movie.
Which they did good, actually. I mean, it had a lot. I can't stop laughing just because it was a lot of things where I was like, okay, well, I mean, that makes sense. That's understandable. And so to hear that it went from this is why they don't do this to why they don't do that to what, you know, and so it actually is understandable. So I can relate with this movie a little bit.
And apparently there's a lot of improvising in this movie too. Like they had the skeleton of it set up, but they were improvising a lot of the scenes that were in there.
That's crazy. Cause honestly, I could see it being improvised because honestly, I kept myself rewinding cause I'm like, dang, there's not a lot of parts I remember. I think that's why I watched it over and over and over just to remember.
If you think about it, it's basically they go to a house.
Yeah.
There's like a serial killer who's making them do trivia. Then they hunt down the serial killers and then they find out who's involved in it. And that's it. That's the entire movie, but it's so many jokes in between.
Yeah, exactly. There was just a lot of like hidden things that I was like, okay, I could watch this movie over and over and over again, probably take a break for a little bit and then watch it again. You know, I related.
The lady at the beginning, when she's doing her rough voice.
Oh my gosh, dude.
And then she goes into DMX and she's like, no, that's DMX.
Yeah,
I was
not going to do the DMX voice. She like covers it. Oh my gosh. It's funny is I feel like a lot of scary movies, because I told you, I've been watching like the Scream movies and stuff like that. And there's a lot of fight back in a lot of these killer movies now that I actually I'm like, okay, well, finally you're doing something, you know, just even a little elbow, you know? And so
I think that's my generation's fault. Honestly, I think it's Gen X's fault because we grew up watching these slasher movies when we were little kids and they continued to spoon feed them through our entire lives. And so there's things that you just can't unsee. And you're like, come on, man. Like, nobody would do that.
Yeah.
And so now they have to incorporate that into a slasher that you have to come up with excuses to do that stuff.
You know? Should. Exactly. I mean, I think there is some knowledge as to things. Now, there's sometimes in a movie I'm like, oh man, I don't know. Like, do I spin around to make sure the killer isn't between each corner and each wall, you know? Or do I just stand there?
Well, kind of, yeah. Out? Right? Like, yeah. Like, if you're stepping into a room, mm-hmm. you want to like bust open the door and like pop and look in the sides. You don't want to like
just
walk around and be like, Abigail?
Yeah.
Are you there? Yeah, oh like that's gosh. A good way to get killed.
Definitely. I just feel like, I mean, this is the best season for like scary movies because we are in October, you know, the Halloween. It's super nice. And so, yeah, these killer movies, these like slasher movies, hauntings, all of that. I'm like, I would do something different in each one, but would it be the right decision? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think sometimes you can't necessarily do the right decision and you have to like put yourself in the character's place and be like, if you're panicked,
yeah.
you're going to make bad choices. But I do like in this movie that nobody's overly stupid either, though, for the most part. You know what I mean? Like no. It's funny stuff, but it's also...
It's they realistic. They do
things a little bit different. You yeah, know?
They do. And then there's points where they're like, dang, we do have to do this because it's this. And you're just like, well, okay, that makes sense. You know,
it helps if you like say it out loud, you know,
it does.
Like it definitely, it makes it more forgivable if you're like, well, at least they're
aware. Yeah, at least they get it.
Well, let's get in the synopsis here. All right. So. Morgan and Sean discover a game called The Blackening, which has a Sambo face in the middle of the board. The lights go out and a voice tells them they must play. They answer questions about race until Sean gets one wrong. He gets hit by an arrow. Morgan runs but is captured. I just want to ask you personally, like, is it okay if I talk about the Sambo thing really quick? Because I feel like...
Yeah, because okay. That was that was funny and kind of like, oh, dang. You know what I mean?
Super rate. Like, you see that in an old person's house and you're like, uh-oh.
Yeah, you're like... Oh, okay. Wait a minute. What where are we staying at?
Yeah. Like last week when I was talking about a retirement home thing.
Yeah.
So what that was I went into somebody's room and they had like so many figurines of those kinds
of
where it's like everything is like jet black.
Yeah.
And just, I don't have to go. Everybody knows when I say that. You can picture what the faces look when, like.
If you see this movie, you'll definitely see like what we're talking about. But that thing was, that was charcoal black. They went there, you know?
Like, are you familiar with like where the Sambo imagery came from?
I want to say yes, and then I want to say no. I feel like I've had knowledge on it. I couldn't say I would. Does it pop in my head right away? Probably not.
Yeah, so I looked it up. This was from this historical society that was talking about all the stuff around Jim Crow. Apparently, it was like a character in Uncle Tom's Cabin, but then it got turned into a kid's book, and they use the name, and it's basically an adult black male who is childish and can't really do anything for themselves and is typically shown as being lazy and things like that. But gotcha. They're like super grateful. And so that character in particular was used as a way of justifying slavery back around the 1850s.
Dang.
Then they opened this restaurant, I think in the 20s, called Sambo's, and they like kept it open through the 80s, and it had that imagery all over it.
Oh, geez.
And then in like the 80s, they were under a bunch of heat for it in the press. Mm-hmm. And they were saying it's because it's like part of the two owners' last names. And so they combined it. But like they were still using the caricature. Yeah, I mean, so it was like, no. And then all of them shut down. There was one restaurant left, the original one. And then the dude like just in the middle of the night changed all the signage. Like just changed everything about it.
They've made this an awareness now.
And I mean, that's 42 years ago, but what I find horrible is that like we watch this and we both know immediately like oh that's not a good caricature, like it still has power.
They reacted in the movie, you know what I mean? In the movie they're like, oh
Jay Farrow says it must run off of racism. Yeah.
And I think I loved everybody's reaction to lifting the box and being like, oh, what the, you know what I mean? And then like the pieces and the beginning question. By the way, the beginning of it, of this is based off true events, dot, 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 that never happened. Yeah. I was like, okay, this is already like, I'm already loving it. And so, because I feel like there's a lot of movies that are coming out like that, where it's like based off true events, based off of, and people will eat that up. And it's like, okay, can we just say like based off of a certain thing, but not really, you know?
Fargo did that, and they did that intentionally.
Oh, nice.
Because they essentially set it up like people will take this more seriously if they think it's a real thing.
Absolutely.
And they basically mishmash like 10 things together and then made their own story. So
yeah,
they never really were serious about like, this is based off of a true story, but they did it because it immediately puts weight behind it.
It really does. Well, I mean, and if you imagine if they said this never happened until the end, I feel like people wouldn't watch till the end and then just really believe what they, you know what I mean?
Because dude, people are dumb. we went to this movie called A Haunting in Connecticut
years ago. Yeah.
And I walked out of it and I was like, no way that was real, because I have one of those based off of a true story things. And as my old co-host Aaron Donaldson says, based off of does a lot of heavy lifting in that sentence. And we looked it up and like, no, not even close. Like the only thing that even remotely resembled what was in that movie was that somebody claimed it was a haunted house. That's it.
And see, that's the thing. I think that's a lot of haunting movies, or I mean, come on, people thought Paranormal Activity was real. They were like, that's based off. I was like, okay, people, we're gonna really argue about this? They say it's not. It's a whole situation. And so if we're filming stuff like that, I mean, we need to really be helping some people out, because they kind of need it, you know?
Yeah, the found footage thing is interesting, because I feel like, I mean, it kind of started before that, but I think when it becomes a genre is when Blair Witch Project comes out.
Thank you. I'm glad you said that.
And I went to that in the theater.
Okay.
But by the time it hit Helena, the word had already leaked out on the internet. It wasn't true. So I might have been the only person in that theater who knew it wasn't true.
Yeah.
And people were losing their minds.
They
over
were
that
eating
movie.
That up back then. They were like, oh, yeah. And it but was one of those
do.
Ones.
That's
and they
the
do.
Thing.
They're like, well, that was really based off. And then they played Blair Witch 2, and that wasn't really based. And I'm like, no, none of it's true. Well, even what was it, Cocaine Bear?
Yeah,
you know,
well,
what I mean,
but that's so tongue in cheek. You know, it's not
oh
true.
My gosh.
You know what I mean?
But
they're
it's
not
so
even attempting to tell the truth.
Yeah,
that.
They're not. But some people will believe that. They're like, yeah, that bear was really out there, a belly full.
It, wasn't it like
drugs.
15 minutes? Like it yeah, ingested cocaine and then it died 15 minutes. But they say for that 15 minutes, it was the top apex predator in the world.
Yeah. Like, that was it.
Cool, but it didn't attack
anything. It didn't go
anything.
Like after people, and you know what I mean? And I'm actually going to watch
that movie
tonight.
It certainly did not leap onto a truck.
Yeah. And unfortunately, I'm saying this now while we break into this, but I have not yet seen that, but I've seen the commercials.
Oh, it's hilarious.
I'm going to watch it tonight after I watch, what is it? The Hole in the Ground.
Oh, I've seen that.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. It's it's a moody thing. It's definitely they're not going to show you a ton, but it's a good movie.
That's why I was almost like, I'm like, okay, I'm on my way. And then I'm like, okay, pause it. And then I pause it. I'm like, get out of here.
Oh man, I love this time of year.
Oh, it's me
just like
too.
Horror movies abound.
Everywhere.
So something else I wanted to point out that I thought was really funny, because you were talking about how you were watching Scream movies before you came over here to me off mic. One of the trivia questions they're asking about Scream 2, and she's pointing out that they killed the two black characters. Who was it? It was Jada Pinkett
Omar
Smith.
Epps.
Yeah,
Omar
Epps.
Yeah. Which the other day I got it wrong, because we were actually just talking about that. We were like, oh, Scream. And then I think we were talking about if there were like black survivors in movies. I don't remember. I remember us talking about something like that, but
yeah, definitely. It's a topic I bring up a lot.
Yeah.
It always bothers me when you see a black dude bite it first. And I'm like, come on, man.
Like, just like, can we be fifth? Six.
Yeah,
you know?
Like any other person, like does it always have to be first? But when she mentions that they were only killed for that movie because they were too expensive, Jay Farrow gives just the most like, oh no, look. And I thought that was so funny, because he's the only one in this movie
that
who people really know.
Yeah.
And he's killed off first.
Yeah. Like, see you later. And you're just like, and it's funny because we had talked about it and I totally spaced it. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, who's gonna die? die next. You know what I mean? And so you go through the movie, but his death, you were just like, dang, out of nowhere. And this is throughout the movie, but I'm sorry, man. They did the shut the lights off. Let me find you. I'm like, okay, we're starting early. Oh my goodness.
Lisa, Allison, and Dwayne head to a cabin for Juneteenth the next day. They let slip that Lisa's ex-boyfriend, Namandi, has been routinely unfaithful and is coming too. Shanika is also going to the cabin and runs into an old schoolmate named Clifton at a gas station clerked by a huge, unnerving white man missing an eye. They all meet up and are stopped by Ranger White. They show the receipt and head in. They do that thing where Lisa and Allison are looking at each other.
Yeah, because, the look.
Yeah. Oh, they have a look and they're basically using telepathy to talk to each other. And they're talking about how they're bringing her ex-boyfriend who Dwayne doesn't like.
Yeah.
And Dwayne is like, I can see you guys talking in the back of each other.
Yeah. Talking telepathically. He's like, what y'all talking about? And why did you guys say eight people and not seven? Why are there eight people? Like, he is not having it. The look is everything. And I was like, oh man, everybody knows that you could, you know, I feel like you don't have to be black to do that. Everybody knows if you do the look, everybody can see it. You know what I mean? Yeah, you just got to learn how to do it.
By the way, he is the head writer of this. He was in that group I was talking about, 3P.
Okay.
So he was the one that was kind of making a lot of the decisions. He was a producer on the movie.
Okay.
And I love that guy, dude. He's my favorite one in this entire movie. He was just great. So funny.
He was that was a great character. I love that he, I don't know. I guess he was the independent one out in a weird way. I don't know how to explain it, but like,
I also like how he bites back at a lot of the stereotypes too.
Yes.
Because he's gay, but then it's like they have later on, they're talking about how they expected him to react a certain way. And he's just like,
yeah.
Oh, good to know that that's what you can expect from me.
Yeah. Why y'all got to look at me when you say, and I was just like, oh my gosh, why do I feel like I've been there?
Did you feel seen in that moment?
I did. I felt seen in that whole movie. I was like, oh, please, please survive. Like I was hoping that nobody did die. And so I'm like watching and going through it and I'm like, okay, this is a great movie. Like, especially with him and all the other characters had their own individualities. And so I thought that was cool with everybody having something different to bring to the table.
Yeah. I think it's like Morgan and Jay Farrow's character die at the beginning.
Yeah.
But Morgan doesn't die right away. Right. Like because
they have that best scene ever where the wig part. Oh yeah. My goodness.
The wig comes
man, that's
up.
Some strong ass wig glue. Run, get the
I also love when she runs into Clifton at the store.
Oh my, stranger danger.
Yeah, she keeps calling him Carlton.
Carlton.
And so this is where I got to start putting stuff together. And I just want people to remember Carlton and the talk we did about Sambo, because I think they're very important when we get to the end of this movie.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Because I think they're kind of informing a lot of things. But Clifton is like, if anybody listen to this, watch Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Like, Carlton was the nerd / preppy conservative, like,
yeah,
kind of the opposite of how, you know, quote unquote, you were supposed to be black in the 90s, right?
Yeah. I could see that actually like being where they were going with that character, actually.
I will say the character had some nuance in the show over time. But if you were just to look at a random episode, it's like him being the counterpoint to everything that Will Smith's character stood for, right?
Yeah. Well, and the fact is like, I actually did enjoy Clifton, that character.
Oh, dude, he's on a heat check the entire movie.
He's
awful, but so funny.
So funny. He checks people. And so I think that's preppy, and you don't really get that he was preppy or like any of that, but how his brain works is, yeah, he definitely was, we'll say, not the blackest in the group.
Right. And he's got the glasses and just the way he carries himself. And he's contrarian, you can tell right away because they do the thing. And dude, I hate when a character like this like has my viewpoint, because like he was talking about the androids versus the iPhones. And he's just like, yeah, well, the androids are clearly better. And she's like, despite your wrong opinion, you can go to the party.
Yeah. And I had to figure that part out, because I was like, well, Well, I have an Android because it's called The Blackening, and there's so many jokes and like there's political and everything that I wasn't even getting some of it. And I'm like, so should I switch to iPhone?
were you worried people look at you in the street and be like,
yeah,
Android.
Yeah. We're going to talk on this podcast and they're going to be like, so now we got to watch the movie. And then they'll be like, oh, that's why he has an Android. Damn him.
Yeah, man, I might have to go back to iPhones. I'm never going back.
No,
I did have an iPhone for a while.
By the time they get to the cabin, Shanika's like, oh, yeah, no. He's like, does anybody have an Android phone? She like cuts him off. She's like, no, I already told you. We don't support that, okay? You're on your own.
And then, okay, when Ranger White shows up, so it's Diedrich Bader. I guess he's the other guy I knew. He was in the Drew Carey Show. He's in Office Space. He's kind of rednecky guy in Office. Peter, boobs on Channel 9. Like that guy.
Yeah, I actually like that guy because he was in a bunch of quite a few other things after a little bit. He even did Miss Congeniality too.
He did a Batman cartoon and it had my favorite Batman line of all time, which is he's about to get in a fight with Catwoman and she goes, Batman, you wouldn't hit a woman, would you? And he goes, the fist of justice is asexual. So dumb.
Oh my gosh. No, I didn't know he did so much. Well, awesome. Yeah, he was I actually wasn't expecting him to be in this movie, mostly because when I saw the trailer, I didn't see any signs of him. Maybe right. I didn't, or maybe I just...
I mean, he's in like a combined total of 2 minutes of the movie, I mean,
that's true. That's very true. And I'm also one of those people, like, if I really want to watch a movie, I'm not going to watch the trailer because trailers reveal too much lately. You know, they're just like, here's the whole, like, half... Oh, here's the end movie, you know? And I'm like, no, 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 no. So maybe I didn't watch. I don't think I watched a lot of the trailer. I was like, oh, this looks like something I want to see. So it was good to see him in that movie.
When you see a cop in a movie, you know, you think in a horror movie, typically it's like they're going to get killed or they won't believe who they say.
Yeah.
Right. For the most part. Occasionally you get a cop who's like one of the main characters at the beginning. So he'll be in on it, but none of the other ones will on the force.
Exactly.
You know? But you're looking at all the black characters and you're like, uh-oh, like every white person you see is like potentially a terrible person, right? Because you see the scary looking clerk.
Yeah.
And then you see
there was Ranger the old White. Guy when oh, yes. The old guy when Shanika's pulling up to the gas station.
And he just looks disgusted seeing her.
Oh,
and,
yeah. He just looks disgusted. He's just like, and she's like, like in her car. And it was just, I'm like, oh my gosh, that's, I don't know. I don't want to say too much, but I just feel like sometimes that's what I feel like people see when they do see like me rolling around and I'm like, and they're like, what the heck? But knowing darn well, they probably do the same exact thing, you know?
Right. Like they had that line that the Shanika has later. They say, are there any white people that want you dead? And she's like, I don't know. I talked to somebody online. It was just something so ridiculous. Yeah. But I'm like, yeah, man, that's a thing. Like,
oh, yeah. There's that.
Like we see three white people and you're like, any of them could be a killer in this movie.
Allison's one of my freaking favorite characters. I mean, mostly because they hit so hard on like interracial with her. And so
I loved
even in the car, like I know it was wrong, I was like cracking up, but when she was like, yeah, you guys don't understand, my daddy, he is white, he's usually pretty nice, but we know when he gets mad, we're like, oh Lord, here it comes, mother suicide.
Yeah this he's gonna kill my mom and me and then himself. Yeah. It was so funny.
Yeah, because it's just, but it was just funny watching her reaction because they're like, well, you're part white. And she was like, yeah, but my, and they're like, and she goes, but my dad's nice. But when he gets mad, we're like, oh Lord, here it comes. I just was like, oh no. But I'm like, but so, that could be so opposite. You know what I mean?
You know what's funny about that? So I gave a bit of a like, ooh, kind of look when you said her name. That was because when they introduce her, there's like a painting of a zebra.
Oh,
and then he like, the guy makes like an uncouth comment about it, but I was like, oh, like that's where I was coming from.
Yeah.
When you said like I shouldn't laugh, I thought that's what you were talking about.
Oh, and
I'm like, oh good.
No. Laugh at all of it. Even the zebra part. Like
that part made me super uncomfortable.
Yeah, that zebra part, I was just like, whoa, because he like hit it and I was like, oh.
It didn't feel like I mean, he was joking, but it felt too mean, I guess. Like, most of the jokes, even though they're mean, they don't feel too mean. That one felt too
mean.
That
one hit hard. Well, yeah. And probably because that probably wasn't improvised then. He probably said that, and that's, and her reaction was probably all but too real. You know what I mean? And that could be, I've noticed that with a lot of movies lately. I mean, heck, even in Rosemary's Baby, let's be honest, no one would ever want someone to spit in their face.
No.
But to do it as an actor and watching in Rosemary's Baby, let me tell you, she spit
yeah.
in his face.
And like, it looked like she's drinking orange juice before.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, like, I could see that zebra comment, like, that whole situation. Absolutely. There was a couple parts that I was even like, I don't know about that. And maybe, I don't think I would quite remember the zebra comment, but I will say, like,
he sees a painting when they come in.
Right.
Like that, it's just as simple as that. And then he basically says, like, it's
like you're,
it's you or something. Yeah. Like that.
And so he made that comment, which that does suck because there is still like that interracial, which they do hit a lot again. Like yeah. they hit a lot on. So, but I could see why the zebra comic could be like,
as many comedies like, that I've like grown up to love, you come back to it 10 years later, there's probably going to be parts where you're like, ooh.
Yeah, definitely.
Because this comedy is definitely like, it knows where the line is and it's just like putting its tiptoes up to the line the whole time, which means that line's going to move at some
right
point.
Right, you know? There.
Dwayne is upset about Namdi, so Lisa throws some molly in his mouth. The lights go out and the game appears. The TV flips on, so they see Morgan as a prisoner. The doors are locked, and they are told that if they want to save Morgan, they need to play the game and answer the questions correctly. They fail when asked to answer who all the black actors who appeared on Friends were. They see Morgan attacked. Okay, ooh. Do you remember any of these questions? I'm trying to remember the questions.
I remembered.
They were just so ridiculous, like, they made me laugh.
How many seasons was Aunt Viv on, the original Aunt Viv on for Fresh Prince of
Right,
LA?
Which I even knew that.
I did too. I was like,
three, yeah.
Actually, I don't think I knew it. I think I was close. I said four, and they were like three, and I'm like, is it three? And I'm like, crap. And he was like, you
so,
got it.
I'll be honest, the reason I know that, I kind of forgotten it, because it was so long ago. I watched it in real time. I did not watch reruns of it.
Gotcha.
And I remember that the aunt changed, and I was like, that's weird. And being a white kid, it had never even occurred to me why the change was made.
Yeah.
But when the whole thing with Will Smith happened at the Oscars, we were going to talk about a podcast. So I'm like, I have to hit literally every angle I can on this.
Yeah.
So it was just like digging up as many things as I could to like find out histories of people. And I'm not going to go through the whole thing.
Oh, you're good.
But as I was going through it, I came into the Aunt Viv thing and I was like, oh yeah, that's messed up. Because like, I remembered her being replaced, but it just had not occurred to me.
Yeah.
Because of privilege, like why that would happen.
She didn't return for a season. I thought she returned at like the last episode. There was like a reason why she returned, or I can't remember, but I thought she returned at the last episode, but that was the only other time that you really got to see her. So it was like, yeah, she only got that many seasons. Honestly, what got me that I was like, oh snap, was the Friends question.
I laughed immediately about that because I watched Friends off and on when it was on, and I don't remember their ever being a black character in there. And then it was one of those things that like, I feel like years after that, and I'm just talking the white perspective here,
yeah.
You know, because I realized like we're hitting it at different angles, but yeah. Like years later, I remember starting to hear that, like, how come it's New York and there's no black people? I'm like, yeah, that is a good question. How
exactly.
come there was no black? Because I don't remember there ever being a black person.
And then they
show.
Were right. I mean, I did watch Friends after many years though. I think I just watched it like during COVID or something. I was like, let's just put this on and watch it, you know?
Like kind of comfort.
Yeah.
Food.
Yeah, exactly. And that's actually a good show. But there was that controversy with the, because have you ever seen Living Single?
I haven't seen it a lot. I saw it a little, but yeah, I immediately got that joke.
Yeah, I'm so glad
was that
you
like
did.
Was that on UPN?
Yeah, I think it was on UPN.
Okay, yeah.
Because I watched it when I was younger, and then now they actually stream it on Hulu. You can watch it on Hulu.
Okay.
I actually really love that show. Didn't know they were going to go there with that. I thought they were going to say correct, and then he was like, no, I didn't watch that. I too was too busy watching Living Single. I was like, oh.
Yeah, that one. Man. I didn't know if that was hilarious or went over the line when I watched
honestly,
that.
Yeah, I didn't either. I laughed, but I was also
that's
like,
such
oh.
a, like, that's such a specific thing that I'm like, I don't know if I'm supposed to laugh
yeah.
at this.
Yeah, like, dang, you guys really went there. Okay, all right. And I actually was like, You know what I mean? Because they brought it up and I'm like, I'm so glad I actually understood that joke. You know, it was kind of like.
I did too. Yeah. I'm the right age. Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh yeah, we understood that. We know, and it's been talked about like that Living Single was like the first Friends that came out, and then that story kind of escalated to something different. You know?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's also like, I feel like at the time you would be expected to watch a UPN show and not something like Friends. You know what I mean? Like, so yeah. it's playing into that thing that they have later on where they're arguing about who's the blackest.
Exactly.
Not in a positive way.
Yeah.
Which we'll get back into in a minute, but. Because that, we're going to have to do some time on that.
Yeah, yeah, because the questions on the game, it was just really funny. I love that they were like, oh, so they're just going to hit us with the Black History, you know, questions. And I'm thinking like, oh my gosh, but aren't you guys up here celebrating Juneteenth? But, you know, I mean, play the game. There was that. And then Allison, the fact that they harp on her being, you know, interracial, and she knew, the pledge. She knew the pledge.
The Black National Anthem.
The Black National Anthem.
Dude, I'm going to be honest with you. My whiteness is going to show on this. I had no idea what they were talking about, and I literally had to look it up. I've played Spades before. Not enough to like necessarily remember the rules because I haven't played it since high school.
Not where your black card's going to get taken.
Right. I mean, obviously not a worry for me. Like, you just have to look at me and you're like, no card for you. But like, I had never even heard of the Black National Anthem, and I was like, what is that? So like, I had to actually look it up.
Yeah.
Because I had no idea.
Yeah. They were like, yeah, it's like 14 verses. And then she hits it and you're just like, wait, it's an actual, you know? And so I've known of it. And honestly, this movie really did hit where the questions and stuff, I was like, I definitely need to go back and kind of relearn, you know, or educate myself a little bit more again. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's interesting because it's like, it's talking about identity so much in this, you know?
Lots.
Like, how do you perceive yourself and how are you supposed to be according to society or according to a group, right?
Yeah.
It's so much of that. And I found it fascinating just watching it because the comedy would come and go in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I never really got scared. Like, there wasn't really anything
I mean, the only thing that you could get scared off that would make anything, like, my thing is like sound. So if when you hear like the arrow shoot, I mean, that's going to give you a little bit of a, come on. You know, why'd you
have to make it out? But when that guy takes like 3 or 4 arrows, point, I'm like not worried about arrows anymore, dude. No. It's basically like a cartoon character. Just
pulling him out.
Dude, he gets beaten up so much in this movie.
Oh my gosh.
So they are told that they must sacrifice one in the group who is the blackest. Clifton is singled out because he voted for Trump twice. He's forced outside and gets shot by an arrow. The door is unlocked and they look for Morgan. Allison reluctantly suggests they should split up. Allison, King, and Shanika all go one way while Dwayne, Lisa, and Namdi go the other. Okay, we got to talk about the blackest. So once again, that's where this comes from, is that short film. No hot sauce in this though, and they regret it a little bit, like not having that part.
They did. Okay, because I was gonna say, if I watched the short, maybe the hot sauce part would have been good, but I felt like with this movie, maybe in the short film it was good. For this movie though, would that have been appropriate in a way where we would have really gotten to choose who is the blackest? Because I felt like each character could have been the blackest.
Oh my god, when he goes out, I just gotta say, when Clifton goes out, it's like he's so they're all saying the things that make them why they're not the blackest, because nobody wants to be the one thrown outside, right? And Clifton's run is just hilarious. He says, I thought Black Twitter was a spice.
Oh yeah,
like, I even knew that was a spice.
when they vote, his All Lives Matter leaving.
That's the thing. He goes by that guy who's been hurt already a few times.
Yeah.
Slaps him when he walks out. Yeah. And then he goes, All Lives Matter. And shuts the door. All Lives Matter.
And you're just like, dang.
When he said, like, him, Rihanna's though, performance at the Super Bowl made me feel unsafe.
Beyonce's. But then Dwayne's like, actually, it made me feel a little unsafe too. But I love that they're calling it out. I love that they, Namdi, like, literally for me, they were, not that he would have been the blackest, but they had like valid points for him. They're like, you're literally from Africa. Like, you're.
Yeah.
You know, and they're going back and forth. But then there was, you know, the
Allison was like, definitely, oh, no. You don't get to like make all these comments to me in there.
Yeah. Wow, Namdi. Allison's one of my freaking favorite characters.
Dwayne's run, when he says, I'm gay, that's like being white wrapped in.
It's like, so like he was safe. You're like, no. But you know what's funny? Spoiler alert, but did you watch any of the Screams?
Yeah, I watched 1 through 3 and I haven't seen any since then.
Do you want to say one thing, mostly because it does pertain to this? Fine. There's the part where Dwayne's like, you know, oh my God, well, I'm gay. And there's a scene in, was it Scream 4? I watched both 4 and 5. In one of them though, they're like, well, there's all these rules. And so now they're playing by the rules and this is what it is. And they're like, but except if you're gay. And there's the part where the guy's about to die and he's like, wait, but I'm gay. And the killer's like, slut, you know what I mean? It's like, well, and then in that one, watching that, going back, I'm like, oh my gosh, Dwayne, if only this movie had came out before that, that would have made no point at all. Like, you would have been in the same category as everybody else. So I thought that was funny that he was making, that each person had a point not to die. And then, oh, Clifton.
There's a joke I can't even begin to like say, but I just want to say to you, when they do the whole, when they talk about Shanika's pronunciation of that word, I laughed so hard the way she oh my God.
I kind of hold on, which word was it she did?
Oh, it was the big one. It's the one I'm not allowed to say. Yeah, because
she does, they're like, well, how many times does she say? And they're like,
when they mention that she uses the hard R and then she does it again. And they're like,
he's like, see, me to
talk to you about that.
I love when they're picking, like, Shanika's really funny. I love a comedian that can perform. And when she, like, even when they're both, her and Dwayne together, and when they're pulling out the pieces and they're like, a bottle for Shanika. And she's like, why do I get the bottle? He's like, you're literally a drunk. That's what's funny in
when
this movie.
When she walks in with Dwayne, when Dwayne doesn't react the way they think he's going to react, she goes, I want to get as messed up
as he is right now. Here comes home girl.
I want whatever drug gets me as messed up as he is.
By the way, people, this movie has a lot of everything. Lots of drug talk, which, whatever.
Allison is taking, what was it?
She did the Adderall.
Yeah, the Adderall.
Oh.
When they do the print up on the screen to explain like what she's going through, I was just like laughing so hard.
Should he just, I'm sorry, but when she is like feeling it and she like tilts her head back and her eyes get really big and it looks like the wind just blew through her hair. Do you know what's funny is like, I love that she doesn't realize she's on Adderall until like halfway through the end and you're just like, oh my gosh. But like, there's so much with it, but when she is sitting there and you're right, the little like formula pops up and she just is feeling it. That's when she's like, oh my God, girl, and help me. And Shanika, run me those pills. They are so good.
Dwayne, Lisa, and Namdi find Ranger White, who tries to get them to go with them. They refuse until he convinces them that he wouldn't go to a cookout because he realizes that his presence would take up too much space. They get in his car, but he tells them to stay put and runs the other way. Later, he comes back to the car just as they find a mask that the killer was wearing, but then he shot with an arrow.
So there's a few things to unwrap there. One is the part where he's like, I won't be invited to the cookout. I think that there was a lot behind that where I think, I love that he was doing it and he's like, oh yeah, the cookout. And they're like, oh yeah, no, you're fine. And then he kind of went a little far. And I think they were like, whoa, and they pull it back. I think that was also showing like, I mean, I have my white friends that like, sometimes they take it a little too far and I'm like, dang, okay, reel it back.
I might be slightly. One of those dudes.
You're not.
I'm really trying not to be.
I have some friends that will push it up there where I'm like, okay, I'm stretching. If my other black friends were around too, it'd be like, they kind of look at me and then I'd look at them and be like, so are we all okay? What did you, am I catching this too? Or are we all catching it? You know? And so I think that's where it was kind of funny that they kind of were like, whoa, you're going a little far. And they brought that to it.
I have to be honest. If I was in their position, I would not trust the Ranger whatsoever after that intro.
And now with the mask in the car.
When you go back and look at it, like taking out the mask for a second, because they get in the car to begin with.
Yeah.
When you go and rewatch that opening scene, you can see like, oh, he is just surprised because he knows this one thing and it came off bad and it's awkward. But like, if I was in their position, I would not trust that for a second.
No.
That like any of it was like that.
Well, and he's in the house and he's like, oh, and he's got a like, yeah, we're all going to look at it like, oh crap, what's happening? There's these killers after us. We don't know what's happening.
You're thinking at this point, it has to be white people. It's not even a question, right? It's not even a question.
Yeah. Well, and he even makes a statement and they even said it. I mean, he goes, well, normally they don't rent to, and they're like white people. And then it's like, he goes, families. And he's like,
white families. Yeah. That's how Allison counters.
You're just kind of like, yeah. Like, what comment could he have made more to make that any better? Nothing. He could have said anything else. He could have just shut up. But instead, he goes, well, normally they don't rent too. And you know, he kind of had to think about that when they cut him off too. Like, well, here's what it is. So I mean, not to get out there, but I would have thought that. I'd have been like, okay, no, dude, something.
100%. That's exactly where I was at. That's what I'm saying is like, I was looking at, I did not think he was a good person.
Yeah.
Until he got shot in the head with an arrow and everything was like, and the mask, dang. He found it.
Yeah.
So when you see the arrow go through his head, you're like, oh, he must have been telling the truth.
Yeah. But also
he's a cop. So like, you know.
Yeah. And you're sitting there kind of like, did they make the right choice by not unlocking? Because I personally wouldn't have.
I get it, dude.
You should have left me the keys. You know, that was your choice to go and look. You had your chance to save three people. Come back later. You know what's going on. Like, I mean, come on. And that's the thing is when there was a lot of like small detail to things that they even brought out where they were like, I would just leave the key. They didn't say this, but I would have been like, leave the keys. Don't go anywhere. Just in case. Like if something happens and we can take the heck off out of here.
Yeah.
You know, our tires have arrows in them. Like the last thing I want to do is have a functioning car be done.
Yeah. That's all valid points, dude. I would not have trusted him for a second. And when you think about it, maybe he wasn't trustworthy. It's just he died. So it's like that puts a punctuation point on the end of the scene.
Right.
But doesn't necessarily mean he's altruistic either, though.
I mean, I agree. Because in a killer movie, and I will say, I keep bringing it up, but like even in Scream has proved that you like all killers, like they're not going to really care about each other at times. Even the lovers, it's kind of like, let's just, the one killer wants to be that by one the way, killer.
Thank you for calling that out. I've talked with people about Scream who just do not see it, that like there's this gay subtext there. And I'm like, no, it's there. In that first movie.
Yeah, there was something
it's
there.
It's subtext.
Scary Movie called it out.
Did they? I can't remember Scary Movie super well.
Yeah, Scary
anymore.
Movie definitely towards the end, they made Sean and whatever the boyfriend, I think he was supposed to be Billy in the movie actually. They made the two characters gay. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, they made it text. Yeah. Did you also know that Scary Movie was literally the name of Scream, and they were like, we can't go with that title, and so they went with Scream. And then when they made a parody of it with the same company, Dimension, they were like, hey, what about the original title, Scary Movie? Yeah. So they went with that.
Oh, I did not know that. Yeah, and guess what, it was damn good. It was freaking hilarious.
It's good enough where they had trumped Scream in sequels for a while, but I think Scream's back on top. I'm not even sure anymore.
Scream, honestly, these last two movies, I can see where they're going with it. I was pretty stoked. I'm actually kind of looking forward to maybe one more.
Oh, we're gonna get so many more than
that. Yeah, we most likely are.
It's a horror franchise. It'll go on forever.
Yeah, right.
Allison King and Shanika find the killer and manage to kill him. They take off his mask and realize that he was a clerk at the gas station. Then they find another killer. Lisa continuously bashes his head until it's jelly. They check his ID and he looks like the first killer. They find a family portrait that reveals them to be twins. They realize that they were paid $1,000 to kill them. And that's where Dwayne's like, I don't feel good about this because it was like $1,000 for all of them together. Like, there's like, all together. There was, what, 10 of them all together?
Yeah, and they're so like, $1,000 to kill all of us? Like, I don't, that doesn't seem right. Oh my gosh, and that like, that scene, the so this movie was very, it felt very long because, like, well, for me it was because I rewound some parts because I was like, oh my god, that is just hilarious, I gotta see it again. The more I watch it, I'm like, man, this movie was actually pretty short for, like, more like the comedy that I got. This whole scene, like, all from up to then, like Allison on the Adderall to where she is sitting up again, like, she
see, that's what I'm talking about though. They don't need the Adderall, it's just like this extra thing in the movie. There's not this, much to the movie.
It's not much.
It's just a lot of comedy.
It's so much comedy that, you know, but when she, like, starts to realize, she doesn't realize she's on Adderall, but she comes, like, to, and she's like, whoa, and then just, like, the screen does that psychedelic effect, and the part where she's just like, no, you guys, I just want to sit here and think about my feelings. Felix, you forget that everybody actually in the movie, well, not in literal life, I have no idea, but, like, throughout the movie, everybody is on some kind of drug. So them being chased by the killer makes their comedy even more because each of them is feeling something different. And Allison's like, whole, I just want to be here and relax. And, like, when what's his name comes up, yeah, he's like, Shanika, this is not the time. And then Homeboy's like, all right, let me talk to you. And then I feel like that scenario, that is very true in most scary movies to just anything in real life where there are, like, there's a choice of two people. There's that calm one, and then there's the one who's gonna tell you the crazy stuff, and he's like, all right, there's a killer after us, we gotta run, we gotta get out of here, we're Rosa Parks, sit down. And she's like, yeah, yeah, she definitely would sit
that
down.
That invalidates your point completely. Completely. Like, it obliterated it, dude.
And he's so injured, Shanika could just push him over. Shanika's just like, get over, you know, shut up, and, like, pushes him over. And when she does the, I had to sing the song, but when she does the, if you wanna go somewhere and you wanna be somebody, then you gotta wake up and pay attention. I was like, wow, they really went there, like, whole sister act
too. Dwayne is making fun of, who was it that smashed in the killer? Anyway, he's making fun of her because,
oh yeah,
she's got, like,
brain matter on her.
Well, before that, they're grabbing weapons, and everybody's grabbing something you would think of as a weapon. Oh, and then she grabs a base of a lamp, and he's like, it's plastic. It's light plastic. And then she, like, bashes in his head so hard.
She demolished that killer, and it was just... That was funny because, like, it was just like Dwayne and Namdi had just made her so bad, and it was like, finally she's just gonna release all her anger. And, like, there was so much to it when she bashes him, and then right after when she goes to hug Dwayne and he does the color purple like patty cake, I was like, oh man, that was perfect. Like, just the way he did it so smooth. He, like, went to hug her and okay, all right, you got brain matter all over you, girl. She's just like
something else in this movie, that, like, a little clue that they have at the beginning is when Morgan is setting up for Juneteenth in the opening shot. She goes to set up their picture, and she, like, scoots the family picture aside, and that's the one they find later to see it's twins. And if you rewatch the movie, you're like, oh, it's the clerk. Like, you can put it all together immediately when you see that. They're laying all the seeds out for you. So I kind of like that they're thinking about this stuff as they're going. But so everybody heads into the house and finds Ranger White and Clifton's body. Clifton, it turns out, is not really dead. He has C4 in the house and holds him at bay with the detonator. The worst day of his life was when the group doubted his blackness for not knowing how to play spades. He got drunk and ran over a woman on the side of the road. He went to prison, and when he got out, he planned his revenge. They managed to knock him into a well where he had dumped Sean and Morgan. This is where I'm saying, like, hold on to that thinking about the Sambo thing that we talked about and the Carlton thing, because that's basically this character, right?
Yeah.
Like, he's the one that pushes back against all of them, like Carlton. He's the one that's, like, making a case for, like, the systematic stuff that, like, holds down people.
I mean, he even made a comment where, I mean, and they forgot. I will say this real quick, is that it also, what I liked, that there wasn't a difference in how there's, like, bullying versus how we're not willing to teach, learn, show somebody. That can happen in any race.
That's the other thing. They're guilty of all of that.
Exactly.
Too. Yeah.
100%. I thought that was like
he's not justified in his reaction.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah, they're also calling out that, like, you don't have to be a certain way to be black, right?
Exactly. Like, you know what I mean? Or even, like, you know, the, just like I said, the bullying and all that, it was like, dang, like, you know, in this movie, you would want them to, it seems, uplift, you know, but really they're going back to like their childhood, their high school, their, or no, college, they were in college, their college where, you know, basically Clifton wanted to play this game and wanted to learn and no one was willing to teach him. I thought that was really cool that they brought that out in there. And I thought that they showed that part where it was like, we're all still the same. We all still do the same things as far as that goes, as far as being humans. And so I thought that was like crazy that they were not willing to show him. And especially when they were like, your fellow brethren, we really want you to. And it was like, oh, dang. Okay. And then they didn't want to teach him. I was like, I've been there before.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And so I think it makes Clifton a really good character too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not just because he has a lot of like some of the funniest lines in the movie, but like, it's also because the way that he's painted is so despicable, but then also the way that they're painted is so despicable that it's understandable, you know?
Exactly.
Like, they're not drawing these lines of like, this guy is pure evil, with the exception of probably the twins. Like, the twins are clearly evil, right?
Yeah.
Because they don't have any words. All they're doing is running around with masks and killing people for $100 a pop.
And didn't make nam one kill. Didn't kill not one person.
Dude, it probably costed the entire $1,000 just to make that board game.
Yeah. For it to get ruined.
That runs off of racism.
Oh my gosh. Every card was black questions. I thought that was what was really fun about it, is that you could relate to a lot of things, a lot of characters, a lot of way things. But you also disliked a lot of the ways that your character reacted or responded or picked away at something, you know what I mean? And you're just like, okay, did we have to do like the zebra thing? I totally I get that though. You know what I mean? Cause yeah. It was like, is that a little far? Yeah, we're going there, you know, but
I'm not saying that, like, I don't know. Like, I don't think it's in my place to tell them what to do or what not to do.
Yeah.
So I want to be clear on that. I just, like, that was the line where I was like, this just feels mean, man.
Yeah.
It doesn't even feel funny. Like, that's all I was trying to say.
Well, and those two characters, they for real just came at each other throughout it, you know? But Clifton's character, yeah, he was definitely, he was the oddball out. He was the one that, you know, but I wanted to see more.
I was just thinking, like, they're trying to figure out a way to like report it without having the cops come.
Yeah.
Which, like, before we get into the solution, we'll get into the solution. So they figure out, like, we'll call the fire department,
yeah,
because they're first responders, which I was like, that's pretty smart. And then you see like a hose
just spray
them all off screen.
Sorry, I feel like you had a question.
It wasn't a question. It was just like an observation, which is like, I think about that end and then I think about the end of Get Out, because there is allusions to Get Out all over in this.
Yeah.
And like they have the TV, you know, where you see her and like the way it comes on and it's like dark and it suddenly comes on by itself. That's very Get Out, right? Like when he's in the basement.
Yeah.
And then they have the line with the guy, like his excuse for not being the blackest is that he married a white woman, and they're like, this isn't helping your cause.
Yeah.
But at another part, they refer to him as being in the sunken place because he's with a white wife, you know? And like, so they have all of that. But I think about the ending of Get Out, which we're going to cover next week, by the way. I'll just tease it here. On Halloween, we are going to cover Get Out. So I'm excited, like one of my favorite movies the last 20 years. But it's relevant to this conversation because the way that Get Out ends, you see those sirens and everybody in the theater is like, oh no, because you know the score. Like, you're looking at it and you're just like, this guy is going to go down. And so when you look at them, they like get to make this decision.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, we're not getting caught, but how are we going to deal with this? Because like, you're going to be on the hook somehow, you know? I just thought that was like a really smart subversion of Get Out. By the way, Get Out, I mean, he doesn't go to jail, but he almost did.
Yeah, he...
If you looked at the original ending, he actually was going to go to jail, but...
And then he... you know what? It's
been, we'll talk about it next week.
I know, I'm excited.
I know the whole story behind it. We'll get into it next week. But that's what I like, is like, this movie is definitely like built off of the back of that movie, because I think Get Out has made it easier for a movie like The Blackening to come out. Like, much as we talked about Scary Movie jumping on the back of Scream, and then they just start making fun of all horror movies, right?
Which, yeah, then they, but...
But this is like jumping on the back of Get Out, and it's like we can have more black made movies and start pointing
and feel at this comfortable. Stuff. Oh yeah, feel comfortable. Because Get Out is kind of
it's doing the same thing this movie is doing, but mm-hmm. in a very different way. Like Get Out is we are going to have a black character at the center of frame. And, like, he's not going to be an idiot, and he's not going to get killed right out of the gate.
Right, but...
And when he has to make a decision, it's going to, like, we're going to find a reason why he has to make that decision, but at least you see it as an audience. They're doing all of that in this movie. They're not copying this movie, but they're doing all of it.
They're doing all of it.
Like, they're making the right decision. It opened a door for this movie, is what I'm saying. Absolutely,
and I think that there's been a lot of movies coming out. I just watched Meet the Blacks. That was another one that I actually enjoyed, where they hit it with... With Purge versus like just a black family doing this. This is how it's going to be. It was also a comedy, but Meet the Blacks was kind of another one where you're like, this is making more waves. So I will say Get Out though. That movie messed me up in a way where I was like, ooh, I'll be honest. I went to a party like that.
Ooh.
And it was here.
I believe it. I 100% believe it.
Oh my gosh. And here's what sucks is like sometimes in situations like that, my friends will be like, I got your back. Oh, so you're going to be the two other people, white people, black people, whatever, that have my... And this is vice versa for if a white person shows up to somewhere that's black and they're doing something that could pertain to the white person that's racist or comes off of that way. And honestly, it's like, no, I don't want you to have my back. So the best thing I can do is put an understanding and go, okay, yeah, we're good.
This stuff is just like so complicated. And like, I like that there's movies like this and that there's movies like Get Out where they're at least talking about it. And if you're laughing about it, it's a start.
We're taking for granted that a lot of comedy, even this, throws in a lot of things that people are uncomfortable with. I mean, I'll be honest. I mean, it's called The Blackening. It's full of lots of black comedians, black jokes. There's going to be a lot of white jokes in there as well. So
yeah, it's fine.
It's, you know.
Like, here's the thing. Every other movie is The Whitening. So you know what I mean? Like, it's fine.
You know what I mean? So I will say that this movie did bring a lot of funness to it, but there was something refreshing about it that you're right. Like Get Out. Like we said, Jordan Peele's doing a lot of good things with his movies.
Important to note, comedian, right?
Yeah.
Has become one of the best directors, I think, like ever, like already, like three movies in, he's on a heater.
Yeah.
I think a lot of that is probably he's just really, really observant of behavior.
Yeah, I agree.
And not afraid to talk about it.
He went from doing these skits and I don't think even dawned on me until you said something and you were like, and I'm like, oh my gosh. I was like, what? I knew that. You know what I mean? But
it's just sort of separated because it's almost like two personas in a way.
It's weird. You don't think that someone like him is going to direct Get Out. Nope. Or Us. He did all these things where it's great. And you're right. I felt like it opened up. So where now The Blackening was able to come out and it's refreshing because we did have like our scary movies and all that, but that was something we grew up with. And then it turned into too much.
Well, also I think the Wayans brothers stepped away from
the
it,
Wayans,
right?
Yeah. The Wayans brothers and stepped away from it. So it just
became
it,
a different thing.
And it just, because it wasn't it, funny.
It became a Zucker brothers thing. And the Zucker brothers who started that type of comedy, mm-hmm. not started it, but like popularized it in the '80s with like Airplane and Naked Gun and stuff like that. They weren't throwing their fastball anymore. You know what I mean? So it's like you go from the Wayans brothers to like over the hill Zucker brothers.
Yeah. And then you throw too much CGI. Once those movies kind of stopped doing it, then we started getting into like point of view. So then we had like Wreck. So we have this genre. And what's nice about it is some of these kind of spoofy movies coming out, I'm loving because they're revamping them again, but they're doing a good job. And so I felt like The Blackening, I'll be honest, there wasn't like CGI throw you against the wall and do all these things. You know what I mean?
There's one other thing I wanted to mention too. So when I was listening to commentary for it, so Dwayne was talking about how it's one of the few things he's ever worked on where he was playing a gay character, which he is gay. And he said he was allowed to choose when to be feminine and when to be masculine.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, that's not ever a choice whenever he does anything. It's like the directors always have an idea of like, you are just this feminine person or like you're just this masculine person, like against type. But he was like, I got to actually do it with nuance, which he said like made it really special for him because like he doesn't get to like to do that, to like, you know, fluctuate back and
kind
forth,
of both.
Be human, you know?
Yeah, be you, you know what I mean? I did like that. I think that's what I really loved about having a homosexual character in this being gay. He wasn't that in your face gay. He wasn't over the top. He had his moments. And I feel like, because I go through that, I have my moments where I'm like, you know, I'm all over.
Oh, I've heard it with you, man.
Yeah.
Like, you will like kind of code switch a lot of the time when we're talking, depending on who's around.
Yeah.
And it's just something like I've only been aware of for a couple of years. And so like when I hear it, I'm like, oh, I've heard you go into the deep voice when you talk to certain people.
Yeah.
And then you get in the higher voice when you're like comfortable around people. And like, I mean, I've heard it with you for sure.
Yeah.
And I picked up on that with his character too. And then hearing him talk about it, I just thought that was kind of cool because
I think it's just us showing that we're not hiding who we are, but also we're just being cautious because it's still fresh and new. We're still trying to figure out just as much as everybody else. And I think that's great for that character. I'll be honest, there's some gay movies that have come out that are, I'll say, pretty decent, pretty good, but some of them they've tried. It just turns into that B movie, feminine man, feminine female, you know. Or
what was the Billy Eichner movie that came out?
That's the one I was thinking of, that Bromance, I think.
Bromance,
it was called.
Yeah. Bros.
Bros. And that one looked interesting.
I'm going to be honest. I'm a big fan of Billy Eichner, so I really enjoyed that movie.
Yeah.
But I 100% understood why that movie bombed, because it was so, so like over the top.
You can.
And I mean, you can.
I mean, you can, but like
you did,
where?
But you're not, it's not necessarily going to lead to box office.
Dwayne, where are you
success.
At? Direct a gay movie so we can see what you're, because honestly.
I'm
going to
be honest. I hope Bros gets reclaimed like on video and people are like, hey, this was actually really good.
I haven't seen.
I enjoyed it.
I know this is going to be terrible to say, but as a gay guy, it's so hard to watch some gay movies. LGBTQ, there's some good movies, good shows, like Queer as Folk and stuff. That was some good stuff. There's some stuff out there where I'm like, okay, guys.
Dude, I'll be honest, man. It had to have been rough in the 90s, because it felt like every LGBTQ movie I watched in the 90s had to be centered around AIDS. And like one of the main characters was going to die in every movie.
Every movie.
And I got so sick of it. And not knowing what a trope even was at the time.
Yeah.
I just like, here we go again.
It's either that or the characters are way too young and they've developed this weird, almost high school crush. Really, they're 21 and 30 something, you know, so they're figuring it out. And sometimes some of these movies, I'm like, sorry, why in these gay movies does someone gotta die? And I know it's not even just the AIDS thing, but someone dies.
It's no different than the black guy dying in a horror movie, right?
It really isn't. That was like the point with Dwayne also, is that when he did make the gay comment, I feel like in a lot of movies, even like the white gay guy, he lives, you know, not in all of them, but for the most part, I mean, I'll be honest, in the Scream movies, I don't want to ruin it, but I'll tell y'all right now. I was very happy just because of where I see the franchise going with that and why and how they did it. I feel like I want to tell you, but I feel like you're going to watch those, so I don't want to tell you.
You can tell me.
Okay. All right. So like the two black people live both times. And here's the thing. They get up in this movie. But then you realize like the one thing it was as two black people live, the two girls, I see where they're going with it. They're kind of doing this thing with characters, but it is going from a all white cast to almost, I'm pretty sure, what's her name? Is it Otanga? She's been one of my favorite actresses and she just did Wednesday.
Jenny Ortega.
And then there's another character, and then the two, it's the brother and sister, they're black or mixed or whatever. And the sister's a lesbian. So it was like all these things. And I was like, interesting. It was kind of cool to watch the blackening and then go and watch those movies. I'll say that if the blackening came out after the Scream movies, they would have had answers. They'd have been like, oh yeah, in this Scream movie, it would have kept going, you know?
Yeah.
So I feel like in the blackening, they kind of brought back, okay, here's where we're going with old school. And now that we see more other horror movies, I won't even say just black. There's a lot of everybody of color living, you know what I mean? And so
people are more aware of it. They also employ it sometimes wrongly because it's Hollywood too. So like, yeah. I'll give you an example. I watched The Last Voyage of the Detmer.
And, okay.
It's kind of a spoiler, but I don't think it's a big deal.
Go for it. I probably won't watch it for a while.
So there's like one black character in it, right? Like the rest of them are white. And I watched that from the beginning. I'm like, oh, that guy's making it to the end. Not from anything that happened in the movie. It's just because he's black. And so I was like, he's got plot armor now. And that's not necessarily right either. I'm not saying that they should by contract get killed in the middle, but it would be nice if they didn't do that. What we want is people to be treated equally, which means you can get off at the beginning, middle, or end. Mm-hmm. Hopefully like in equal measure so that it is a surprise. You don't want to watch it and be like, oh, this is going to happen.
Exactly.
And I felt like black people dying at the beginning of horror movies was just straight up white supremacy. It was like, we're going to have the black character in there, but like, he's going to go and you're not going to have to worry about him after like 15 minutes.
So kind of like that way of like back then, like, okay, we're allowing everything to kind of come into play. Let's allow them to get into some movies, but they don't get to survive.
Right. It's like in the 80s, man, if you're in a horror movie, you're getting killed first. If you're in a comedy, you're going to be a thug who makes people uncomfortable. If you're in a cop drama, you are going to be somebody who's like killing somebody or raping somebody. Like, it's just straight across, like, stereotype, the worst stereotypes, and like something where you just see
every time
a limited appearance or like something to make people afraid or like something like that, right? Like, exactly. It's just plain white supremacy. Now that like people are more aware of it, I don't think racism has gone away, first off, but like if we're to put that aside for a minute, it's like, well, now we have to follow this formula where they always live to the end. And I'm like, that's not the answer either, guys. It's like
just we're asking for just a little bit, you know, just a little bit of a here's this, you know what I mean? But I will say that we are, with a lot of movies, it is getting better. I will say that there are ways that it is getting better, but can we do more? Probably. We could see more, and I really wouldn't mind that, you know? I'm actually really happy with these movies coming out. I did watch Joyride, the one with the all Asian girls.
Like, doesn't she go back to China or something?
She goes back to China. It's not what you think it is at first, and then she ends up doing this whole other thing, and it becomes a whole backstory. That movie was kind of like how The Blackening was for me. Was it funny? Yeah, but do you ever find something funny and you were like, okay, I didn't really laugh at it, but it was internally funny. I felt like
all the time.
Oh yeah. I felt like with it being a group of Asian women going through all this stuff, learning that when, you know, some of them don't know Chinese or, you know, this or that or some other.
I remember in the trailer, they're like faking being in a J-pop group.
Yeah, that part, dude.
that was really, really funny when I saw that.
If you watch that, I can't even ruin it because that part was just that whole scene to the part where it gets to, you're just like, what just happened? But I will say with these movies coming out, that movie was enjoyable because for me, you get to learn new things. Even Crazy Rich Asians.
That was very funny. Yeah.
Great movie. That was hilarious. I actually cried a couple of times. Y'all, I cry. I think it's nice that we're getting to see all these cultures. Now, let me tell y'all something. When y'all watch these movies, don't take everything from it and then start using words and other things that you don't know about. That's what I will say.
Are you saying don't appropriate other people's cultures?
Yeah, I mean, you can. Just but don't
we're
take white. It
too
far.
What are we
far.
Supposed you to know? Do? We're like vanilla. We mix with everything.
I like it. Well, swirl it up, but you know, don't even swirl.
Nobody appropriates culture quite like Zoomers do. You know what I mean? Like, they are just like everything out of their mouth. I'm like, dude, you need to stop. Every word that they say sounds like it should have been a rapper in 2005. Yeah. And I'm like, stop it. Stop it. Like, you're not supposed to. No.
My eye twitches and like shoulder jiggles a little as I'm like, what did you just say? You know what I mean?
Dude, all of my kids say bae all the time. I'm like, that's not your word. That's not
just
your
put
word.
Put another bee there, yo. Put another bee. Oh, New York, number one, oh, region. Wake up, pop culture of my dying on the job. And I kinda like to really wanna tell you, girl, you better not to be. Oh yeah.
A Cosmic Void was created by Alex Small and Jeremiah Perez. It's hosted by Alex Small and Xavier Cousins. Produced by Aaron Donaldson and Alex Small. The theme song Duke of New York A Number One was written by Dub Campbell and Greg Vivrette. The song is performed by Tonight We Ride. A Cosmic Void is a Redwood Sound Labs production.
Okay, kiddo, I lost my library of sound, so I need you to do some sound effects for me.
I don't want to do this, Dad.
Look, I'm just trying to put food on the table, but if you don't want to help...
All right.
Hear Biggs chronicle a galaxy of genres. Listen to the deconstruction of film on A Cosmic Void. Charles is a Purple Heart recipient and cinematographer. Aaron is a professor and critical cultural scholar. Together, they explore the narrative, effective, and production politics of war cinema on Real War Project. That's R-E-E-L, War Project. Finally, a podcast that's dedicated to talking about your favorite sports movies. Whether you want to hear a breakdown of the plot, arguments about who's the MVP of the film, or crit and lit about it, you'll find it all on Fields of Glory. Listen to the show that will help you have a better life with your beloved pets. It handles topics like proper food, nutrition, positive reinforcement training, and more. Certified dog behavior consultant Charlotte Peltz welcomes your pet concerns and questions in the podcast, Living with Your Dog. Zach and Matt are two horror enthusiasts of varying experience discussing horror movies through the scope of content, context, and comedy. They'll hit on the good ones and the classics, but they're really excited for the bad ones. Listen to Watch No Evil. You can find all of Redwood Sound Lab shows at Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, or wherever you listen to podcasts.